The U.S. Labor Department recently moved to recover $14 million from a Chinese company on behalf of workers brought over to the tiny island of Saipan to work on a casino and who were shortchanged in their pay. Bloomberg News broke the story detailing hardships the workers endured on a job site after a number of injuries and the death of a worker caught the attention of federal authorities. In a follow-up story, Associated Press reporter Sophia Yan tracked down some of those workers who returned home after their ordeal and who shared how they were tricked into taking the job overseas.
They were found to have brought over a number of workers illegally from China to work. Now, what had happened to these workers, I've spoken to a lot of them since then, they were tricked into this work. A lot of them borrowed tons of money to pay off these recruiters, these job placement fees, as high as $17,000. If you're living in China in poverty, you're lucky to have a couple of thousand a year in your pocket. And so $17,000, you can imagine, is a lot for them to pay. So they were tricked into that work. They came over to Saipan and discovered that they were here on illegal status. A lot of the agents that had recruited them had actually promised that they would have legal work, legal status, and perhaps even a path towards a green card, which for a lot of these workers, they were telling me that once they got to Saipan, it was clear that that wasn't going to be the case. They were working overtime, sometimes 14, 15, 16, even 19-hour days. They were getting paid half what they had been promised back in China. They weren't getting any breaks. Some of them had their passports confiscated, and it was just a huge problem. They were living in dilapidated housing, bunking with many, many other men, and it was not the kind of situation that they had thought they were going to be in when they thought they were coming to America. They thought they were going to be chasing, you know, the American dream.
And when this project was shut down because of the problems of workers getting injured, I think there was one worker killed, a lot of those workers then went back to China, so was it hard to track them down?
Yeah, it's always hard to track down, workers in this case. I was able to find them. I speak Mandarin, and I have worked before as a reporter in China, so I have a lot of connections in terms of being able to find these kinds of people. Yes, a lot of them did go back because construction had halted on this casino. Once that worker at one point last year had died, the federal authorities started to look into this whole situation. The FBI conducted a raid. They found passports locked up in a cabinet. They found these spreadsheets that listed certain employees as heigong, which means illegal laborer in Chinese. And they found all these thousands of workers that were in the Northern Mariana Islands illegally. So once the authorities started looking again, construction halted. And for a lot of these workers, they'd come from rural parts of China, you know, China's Rust Belt. They were looking for a job that would pay better and more than that they could make at home. So they couldn't afford to stay any longer without a job. They had to go. Some of them have even taken jobs in other countries because they need to make a living for themselves, for their family. A handful have stayed on Saipan because they're still looking to receive what they think is due, what they're owed, back wages, damages.
And for some of those that borrowed the money, then they have this huge debt that they've got to clear.
Yeah, one of the workers who's still on Saipan, Shui Longcai, I spoke with him. He's in his early 50s. He and his wife came over. They borrowed tons of money. They're the ones who paid about $17,000 to come over for these jobs that they thought they were taking. Their adult son has recently joined them, and he was telling me that he just can't go home because he's really worried about his physical safety. He can't pay off these loans. He's still in debt from an earlier loan that he had about 10 years ago. There was a government program to push greenhouse farming. So he borrowed money to try to do that. It didn't take off. So he owed money from that, borrowed money to come to the States to do this job that he thought he was going to have. And now he's stuck. He's, you know, in debt. He wants to go home, but he can't. And if he's going to go home, he's got to be able to pay everybody back. But again, he's very worried for his physical safety because he's not making the money to be able to do that.
And talk about the visas that they were working under.
Yeah, so for Chinese citizens, they can come in on this particular visa waiver program as tourists for a certain period of time. And so what these companies were doing was essentially exploiting this little loophole for people to come in. There are legal avenues for workers to have legal status, for employers in Saipan, in the Northern Mariana Islands, to bring in foreign workers. A lot of the workforce, actually more than half of the local workforce right now, are foreign laborers, and those are people coming in on certain visas and legal statuses. But in this case, these workers were not coming in that way.
And what about the situation here in Hawaii? I mean, are workers allowed to do that, to come in under a tourist visa and then work?
Well, technically not. I mean, it would be illegal to do that. Anybody, I suppose, could come in on a tourist visa, take a side job, you know, be paid in cash. You know, that's something that could happen. I won't speculate on whether or not it does happen, you know, but in this particular case over in Saipan, it was a very large group of people that were doing that. You know, the thing is with construction, it's the second most common industry for forced labor. That's according to the International Labor Organization. About 25 million people, they estimate, were victims of forced labor in 2016, 60% in the private sector. That's a really large swath of people. So construction is an area that, again, is sort of at risk for this kind of thing to happen, human trafficking, forced labor. I mean, these people sometimes, you know, it occurs, and it's something that's difficult for authorities to crack down on.
Right. And here in Hawaii, we've had some cases where there were farmers who thought they were going to be working on a farm and ended up working on a fishing boat. And unfortunately, you know, that's the kind of stuff that comes to light when there's either a crime or a situation that allows authorities to kind of hone in and say, what's really going on here?
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is some sort of injury or death will occur, something will happen, and authorities will take a closer look. Because oftentimes, I mean, these people who come in, the workers themselves don't necessarily always realize what their rights should be or could be. They don't know what's due to them. Some of them may not fully understand that they're here illegally. They may not understand that they're breaking the law. They might not even speak English. For these workers that were coming into Saipan, these Chinese workers that I spoke with, a lot of them had never left China. This was their first time out of their country, and a lot of them had come from small backwater villages. It was a totally new experience for them, and they had no idea necessarily what they were getting themselves into. What they knew they had signed up for was what the recruiters had told them, a well-paying job, legal status in the U.S., and a chance to make a lot more money than they could at home.
Now, with this action taken by the U.S. Department of Labor, what assurance do we have that the money is actually going to get into their hands?
Yeah, so some of the workers have been paid. There's a whole swath of them that are still waiting for money. There's a lot of confusion about how much they're owed and how exactly they'll be paid. There are some labor organizers that are sort of liaising between the government and the workers, and these organizers do often deal specifically with Chinese workers in similar situations. And so I know that they're working to track down certain names and passport numbers, for instance, to make sure that the money gets paid out. Now, there are ways to try to counteract this or to prevent this. One of the lawyers I spoke with, he had this idea that companies, especially foreign companies that are operating in the U.S., should be mandated to purchase a wage bond so that if something like this occurs, there's actually money onshore in the U.S. that can be tapped into to pay out to these workers. A lot of foreign companies, of course, their assets are offshore. So getting them to be able to bring that money in to pay everybody out is a different story. In this particular case, a lot of these companies were actually paying the employees in China, even though they were working here in the U.S. So it's very complicated. I mean, it's a very individual basis how they're going to be able to make sure this money is paid out to everyone. Thousands of workers, not a small feat.
Right. And the project, the status of the project in Saipan is what?
So as far as I understand, the construction now in Saipan on this casino hotel has halted. There are not workers working on it. Again, all those laborers that we were talking about have gone home. A lot of them have gone home. And so if construction is to continue, workers either will have to be hired locally or brought in, foreign or maybe other American workers. There are legal avenues to do that. In Pure Pacific, the company that hired the four construction contractors that have to now pay out these fees as settled by the U.S. Labor Department, in Pure Pacific hasn't said anything specifically in the public about how they plan to go about doing that.
Right, but the casino was operating while it was still under construction.
Yeah, so they had sort of a soft launch. They were operating. They were still building out. They have pretty lavish plans for what they want to do out there in Saipan.
Right, and a lot of, I think, attention by the authorities. It really got their attention because there was a lot of money that was going through that little casino out in the tiny island in the Pacific.
Yeah, there have been a lot of allegations of money laundering when it comes to this casino that's in Saipan, Imperial Pacific's casino. There's, it's got tons of money. It was bringing in way more money than Macau and Las Vegas, which are traditional hubs for gambling. And those allegations of money laundering, you know, who knows if they're true or not. There's a lot of speculation around it. And, you know, for Chinese, it's a close place to go if you want to go gamble. It's not legal in China, so if you decide you want to be a high roller and you want to go out there, Saipan's kind of close. You hop on a plane, you go out there and have some fun.
So in just a couple of hours.
In just a couple of hours, yeah, exactly.
That was Associated Press reporter Sophia Yan, who's been looking into Chinese-related labor stories in the Pacific. Yan has worked with CNN's Hong Kong Bureau and CNBC in China. I'm Catherine Cruz, and this is The Conversation on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio.